Well, it's been a good week. I assume all of you got a copy of the Bible study. Is someone going to discuss the two commitment pages that are in there, Ed? They aren't. Well, those are. I was thinking those were with you earlier today, but this is a place to record the commitments that you've made. And I really like the idea at the bottom of the page. If all of you will take a look at that for just a minute. I want to just show you a couple of things that I think are important. You need to identify, of course, the kind of commitment it is. But at the bottom, there's a place to date it and to sign it. And then another little thing, commitment shared with somebody at some point, you know, on a certain date. I feel those two things are extremely important. In fact, I was very close to including another segment in our time here, and it was the issue of commitment and accountability. But we don't have, I'm not going to share on that tonight. Incidentally, one reason that I did a study on this, and people on our NAV staff and have taken some folks through it, and this is what gets you into the Word. Reading the book will stimulate your thinking. But doing this Bible study will really get you into the Word of God. And that's what I really urge. That's why I'm so glad that they were going to also provide the Bible study with you for this weekend. A lot of people have asked how things are going in the new job. And I have several replies on that. But one of them is the story about the pilot who said that he has a surefire way of getting his passengers' attention. And his plane sits on the runway waiting to take off. You know how they rev it up on the end of the runway? They're sitting there. He comes on the loudspeaker and says, we'll get going in a minute, just getting up my nerve. And I think that's a little bit, that really gives you confidence, doesn't it? As you think of some things there. And others say, if I've tried to figure out anything in the work yet, and there was a story about a guy, a lieutenant, I think overseas in Korea or somewhere. He got off a bus one night and he was crossing the area of his camp and he was challenged by a guard and he says, halt, who goes there? And so this guy gave his name, rank, and serial number and his army unit and he waited patiently for the command to advance and be recognized, which is what's supposed to be said. And finally he broke the silence. The guard didn't say anything. He says, aren't you supposed to say something else? And the guard replied, he says, don't you move until I think of it. Totally forgot what he was supposed to do. Well, let's look to the Lord and ask him to bless our time together in just these last few minutes together. Father, thank you for the privilege of sharing together this evening on commitment and through the whole week. Help us, Father, to really seal the commitments that we have made to you in this time. And even tonight, Lord, help us to be more careful to seal those commitments in a way that is right and is honoring to you. Father, we give you praise that you are in our midst and you are working in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Margaret Mead made a very brief statement that I think will hit home with all of us. She said, one of the oldest human needs is having someone wonder where you are when you don't come home at night. I think all of us would like to have that. What I would like to share tonight is just a very brief meditation on a couple words, a couple verses of Scripture, and I would call this commitment to people or commitment to bear one another's burdens. There's a couple in our Sunday school class, and I won't go into the details, but the wife had a brain tumor or some brain malfunctions that showed up on scans and so forth about 10 years ago, all kinds of symptoms with her hearing and all of that sort of thing. And they just prayed and were about to try and get some surgery, and they just disappeared. And about 5-6 months ago, they shared in our sharing time in our Sunday school class at church, what God had done. Well, just 2 months ago, all the symptoms returned. They went and got the scans, and there were five five spots called AMIs in the brain, and they were inoperable, and no one knew what to do. They finally found a surgeon, probably one of only two in the United States, that could do this surgery out in California and would attempt it. And so the whole class was really behind them and praying for them. And she went out and had the surgery. And the morning of the surgery, as they were going to take her in for this multi-hour surgery, probably 6 to 8 to 10 hours, it was delayed because of some emergencies. And the doctor said, I'd like to just get one more scan. And so they ran her in, and four of the five had disappeared. And so they went in and took out the big one. Very successful operation. And they had gotten people supporting them, people praying for them, people giving money, and over 200 cards and letters that just came in day after day. And 3 weeks ago, this Sunday, she came back to class. They'd gotten into town at 11 o'clock at night, came in the next morning, and everybody just clapped and cheered. You know, it was just a great time. There was a tremendous sense of bearing one another's burdens. But I wondered, that was a very obvious burden. That was something that everybody saw and everybody knew. My question is, what about those burdens that no one ever shares? The ones that are private inside your life. Things that you can hardly share with one other person, much less ask a Sunday school class to pray about. In fact, we're often afraid to share them just simply for fear that it'll sound foolish. And you think of some of the concerns of your heart, how if you shared them, how you would be afraid that someone else would either think you're unspiritual or would laugh at them or would say, oh, come on now, you're kidding me. And all of us have got those kinds. I'd like to take us to the scriptures for just a few moments, to the book of Galatians, and to that very familiar passage of Galatians 6:2, where it says, bear one another's burdens, and thus fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens. Are you a burden bearer, or are you a burden? How do you feel when people want you to help bear their burdens? I'd like to point out a couple things. It does not say that you are to remove someone's burden, but it says you're to help bear them. You can't remove anybody else's burden. I'd like to just ask, well, what kind of burdens are we talking about? Well, three kinds that I'm aware of. One is just a physical burden. There are people who have need of food. They have need of finances. Maybe they need their children to be cared for. Maybe the person is a widow or someone who's divorced, and they're in this home and they don't know how to fix the faucet, and you can just go down the list. There are lots of physical burdens that can be borne if you know about them. I think the second kind is emotional burdens, and these are probably the hardest to bear because you so seldom know about them. Anyone who has teenage children knows of emotional burdens that need to be borne. And people who have tears of anger and frustration that they can hardly share with anybody else, there are emotional burdens to be borne. Just about everybody in our Navigator ministry who returns from overseas goes through about a year to 2 years of just plain being shell-shocked. And I may have mentioned that the other evening. I recall, did I talk about this the other evening? Okay. I sometimes lose track of just the specific illustration I might have shared. But we had a friend of ours, missionaries that came back from overseas a while back, and they were really hurting. When they came back, their income just dropped to about 30% of what they should have. They came here to the Glen, and the Glen had changed so much, nobody knew them, seemed like nobody cared. Their assignment was changed while they were en route, and they couldn't even contact their supervisor. They went down to the city where they were being assigned, and they didn't know one person there. It was the middle of summer, and everybody was on vacation. And through the next year, their income was just almost nothing. The wife had to go to work. He had to go to work doing anything he could possibly find, and depression set in so deeply. And you know, our heart really went out to them, but it wasn't something that we could do everything for them. And I saw them not too long ago at a conference up here this summer, and they're really doing well. God has answered, but there have been some months of deep, hard things with no one nearby to bear their burdens or to understand. And that really hurts, especially for someone who's given their life on the mission field for quite a number of years. It's like coming back to a strange place. That's just one example. But let me give you something that's even a little different. That one, you say, yep, I can see that. We had someone in our Bible study. Our Bible study folks have gone through a lot in the past year. The sister of one of our wives died of cancer. Very difficult time. Very close friend of another one of the wives died and rejecting Christ right up till the end. And she had promised this woman that she would be there all the time during that. She would drive back and forth to Denver. And everybody really came in and supported them. But a little over a year ago, one of the other wives had something happen. Her dog was killed. Well, you know, in the view of cancer and things like that, having a dog run over isn't too much. And a friend, the husband of a friend of theirs in another city, had been killed in an airplane accident. And she shared it, but nobody called. And it really hurt her deeply. Now, you see, you say, well, I don't see that one quite as much. That's the point. See, you don't know what affects other people and what values are hurting them. But it was really a deep hurt that nobody even called. Nobody said they were praying for them. Nobody sensed what she was going through, because in comparison to these others, it paled. I guess the thing I want to point out is that emotional burdens are very private and hard to even discover and hard to see, but they are really there. Then, of course, there are physical burdens, just the issue of sin. Someone sins and they have a need. I mean spiritual. Did I say physical? Thank you. Yeah, a spiritual burden. When they sin, it puts a burden in their hearts. They smile and they go to church and they come to Bible study, but there's something burning inside. And nobody's ever close enough to ask them how things are going spiritually. And the burden is there deeply. And the pressure, just the pressure of life, puts a spiritual burden on us. So here they are, physical, emotional, and spiritual. Those are the kinds of burdens I'm talking about. How do you bear them? You say, well, Jerry, I know that. I've gone through it. I relate to that. But how do I bear them? What do I do? Well, first of all, let's look at the basis of bearing one another's burdens. It says, bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. Well, what is the law of Christ? What is it? Love. Yeah. Love in both. He says the law is fulfilled in these things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And the second is like unto it, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So it is the law of love. Now, the law of love can be a very intellectual thing. I think if we've all been through some kind of a marriage seminar, they probably say, well, love is an action. Even if you don't feel it, you ought to do it. And so we get into that cycle of thinking. But there's a little bit more to it, I believe, than that. We do need to express love to people. And somehow that must be part of our being. I read an article about a young man by the name of Scott Ipswich. He was a 15-year-old boy who was dying of leukemia, and he wrote down, as he was dying, a number of his thoughts. And after he had died, his mother found one of his papers headed, How I Would Show Love. And I just want to read you just a brief quote on what he said, a 15-year-old boy, on how he would show love. How I would show love is by being thoughtful and caring, helping in any way I could. Hugging and kissing would be a nice way too. Laughing and smiling when someone you love is happy, and being reassuring and extra kind when the one you love is sad. When you are very sick, it helps to have someone hold your hand, letting the glowing warmth of their love for you trickle into you. And that's from a little article entitled, Maybe My Time Is Up. And that was the quote from Scott Ipswich. Now, you notice those are simple things. They're somewhat feeling-oriented. No one solved his problem, but he said in reflection, if someone would just be there. And I'd like to just share with you a few just brief suggestions on how you can bear someone else's burden without being a trained counselor, without having to go to a great deal of effort. The first thing I believe is just to listen. Just simply to listen. I read another little story about that I believe was a true one. It was about a little girl who came home from her neighbor's house where her little friend had died, probably in the neighborhood of 5 or 6 years old. And the father said, "Where'd you go?" And she said, "Well, I went over to comfort my friend's mother." And the father said, "Well, what could you do to comfort her?" And she said, "I climbed into her lap and cried with her." Now, you see, it's not so much that you have the answers, but that you're just there. And in fact, I think one of the key things is that you are being there. I think the other thing we can do is pray for people and pray with people. How often on the telephone when someone shares, you say, "Why don't we pray right now?" Or right where you are to pray. It may be a little uncomfortable. It may not be something that you've done, but you actually do pray with them. I think you also ought to think of how do you lift their physical load. When someone is hurting and you know it, the very commonest of tasks is a burden. You ever notice that? I mean, for some people, when they're in depression, just washing dishes is hard. Or making a bed. Or when something is going on that's really hard in the family, just going out and mowing the lawn is not an easy task. And I appreciate something that St. Augustine wrote. He talked about love, and he says, "It has the hands to help others. It has the feet to hasten to the poor and needy. It has the eyes to see misery and want, and it has ears to hear the sighs and sorrows of men." That's love, and we can lift the load. I think another thing that is extremely important is that we can empathize. We can actually try and feel with them. The word compassion, passion means feeling. Calm means with. With feeling. With feeling with them. Experiencing what they experience. I think that's the teaching of Romans 12 where it says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. We need to be able to do that. And I mentioned a moment ago the fact that we just simply need to be there and be available. Your presence is extremely important to someone whose burdens you are trying to bear. You may not know how. You may not have the answers. You may not be able to demonstrate things from the Scripture, but you can be there. Someone has said that loneliness is not being alone, but it is being in the presence of someone who does not understand. And that is, I think, important. There was an account of a woman by the name of Mrs. McFarland. This is reported by J. Oswald Sanders, the former director of the China Inland Mission, now called the Overseas Missionary Fellowship. And one night, I think he was speaking here in the Great Hall, and he told this story about Mrs. McFarland, who ran one of the China Inland Mission's language schools. And she came into class of 17 girls one day, and she walked through the room, up and down each aisle, and then she walked out without saying a word. Then she came back in and asked if they had noticed anything. And the girl said, "Well, no, they really hadn't." And they thought and thought. And finally, one girl said, "Well, the only thing I really noticed was the fragrance of your perfume." And she says, "That's the point." Said, even if they didn't know the language of the people, that the people will observe their lives and sense the fragrance of Jesus Christ. That's part of what would be done in bearing burdens. And then I think we need to share what we do know of the Word, but sparingly. When you're bearing burdens, it is not often that a sermon helps. But maybe one short passage of Scripture, or to share how the Lord met your need. Have you ever been hurting deeply, and someone just runs off at the mouth giving you 20 verses, 3 points, and a poem? And it really doesn't help at all, because you know they haven't even listened to you. But it did not meet your need. Now it's great for me to share that you ought to bear one another's burdens. But you say, well, what about me? Well, there's a counter verse to this in Galatians 6, 5. In 2 it says, bear one another's burdens. In verse 5 it says, each one shall bear his own load. Now that is a puzzle. Here you're supposed to bear one another's burdens, but then just 3 verses later it says, hey, take care of it yourself, my friend. Bear your own load. And you wonder now, why is that? Well, let me give you a couple clues. One clue is simply that you can't expect someone else to bear your burden. I think many people leave churches because when they're hurting, their needs weren't met. They walked in and nobody noticed. But you see, the Scriptures do not say you must demand that someone else bear your burden. The command is always personal to me. Jerry White, you are to bear someone else's burden. So I look to bear someone else's burden. Jerry White, you are to bear your own burden. I can't go to you and accuse you and say you did not bear my burden. Now, if God, in His great love, brings someone into my life, as He has many, many times, to help me bear my own burden, that's great. But I can't demand it. See, it has to come from someone else. But I say, why is that? Why is it that God doesn't make people bear one another's burdens? And in fact, why doesn't He remove them completely? I think the issue has to do with our character. And I think I did mention something about this the other evening, that the thing that I have come to the conclusion is that the greatest part of character building is suffering and tribulation. And if you read in Romans 5, you'll find out that the sequence of tribulation ends up in building your character. Now, it's hard, but I have never seen Christians who are really mature and deep who have not suffered. Now, none of us like it. I wish there were another answer, but it deepens our character. The second thing bearing our own load does is it increases our dependence of God, on God, and it makes us so we are not as dependent on other people. But the main thing, it develops our dependence upon God. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. See, there's the promise that God gives us. He will bear our burdens with us. And finally, I believe it really causes us to mature in Christ. Bear one another's burdens. Bear your own burdens. Both are necessary. But let me ask a moment, why is it that that sometimes never happens to you? Well, one thought is this. Maybe you have never been willing to be vulnerable enough to share the real burden that is there. Now, I know you're going to share tonight. I don't know how you're going to structure that. But the fact is that even in a small group at times or with another person, we need to be willing to share what is really going on inside our lives. And then maybe through that process, God will come through other people and help to bear our burdens. So as we reflect tonight, on Galatians 6:2 and Galatians 6:5, I would say that there are three or four things that we need to be committed to with one another. One is just a willingness to bear one another's burdens, a willingness to love, and then a willingness to bear your own burden, and then a willingness to share your personal need. If those four things are in your heart and you're willing to do them, I think it will revolutionize your own personal walk with God and your relationship to other people. After all, last night our focus in commitment was a vision that involves people. But it's one thing to have this grand sweeping vision of the world while our neighbor is hurting deeply. And we have within ourselves the wherewithal to come and to help bear someone else's burden. Bear one another's burden and thus fulfill the law of Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the great privilege of having our burdens borne by you, that you took the load of sin that was captivating us and you took it to the cross. And that you said that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We praise you, God, that you have borne those burdens. And we praise you that you will come and bear the burdens we have now. But God, I pray that one of the commitments we will walk away from this place with is a commitment not just to love you and be committed to you, but a commitment to bear one another's burdens and serve one another, so that we can really love as you loved. We commit ourselves to you tonight, and now as we spend time sharing, Lord, I pray that you would touch our hearts as we reach out to one another to try and understand and empathize what is being shared, not just in words, but in the heart. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.